Good morning to you all, and I greet you in Jesus' name. It's good to be here with you, and it's good to see you, each one of you. Our brother Ernest closed his prayer, asking God that he would help us to all be thankful. And yes, this is Thanksgiving. I do intend to bring a message on thankfulness. First of all, I would like to thank you, sisters, for the gift that you gave to the ministry wives. I thought of it just as you were wrapping up there, Ernest. That was an announcement that I think he would wish to share as well. But thank you for your gift to the ministry's wives, ladies. It was very well enjoyed by them. It was a very kind gesture. So the title this morning is The Doctrine of Thanksgiving. Now, before you glaze over with the word doctrine, that word simply means principle, like a principle teaching, a body of belief. So we believe this morning, and what the burden is that this Thanksgiving isn't sort of a little aside. And I'm not talking about Thanksgiving Day, although we're here, and I recognize that it is a moment of it is a moment that calls for Thanksgiving, and I can appreciate that. You know, national recognition of that. Is it abused? Yes. It's how those things go. But they are important. But I'm thinking about this teaching, this doctrine, this principle, like this central piece of our lives of thankfulness, of Thanksgiving. Psalms, it's all through the Bible. I'm going to read to you just two verses in Psalms 95. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. So, there it is. We're called, we're instructed to come with thanksgiving. Now, there's the negative side of it as well. You'll notice it here in Romans 1, verse 21. Because, talking about this broken down world that Paul was penning this gospel to, how wrecked it was. And he says that when the people of God's creation saw, when the people who God created saw his creation, when they saw all of that, because that when they knew God, because they saw him through creation, they glorified him not as God. And this next phrase caught my attention. Neither were thankful. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So thankfulness isn't just something that's sort of added on. It's actually recognized as if we don't have thankfulness, then we're actually losing out. We're actually in danger. You know, we're growing cold towards God, and we could end up at some pretty bad places. And so that's the seriousness of thanksgiving, of thankfulness. We're talking about gratitude. We're talking about a grateful language to God. Thankfulness, giving of thanks. See, I believe this morning that thanksgiving, thankfulness, gratitude, they are a condition and position of the heart and mind. They're a condition and position of the heart and mind. Thankfulness is a little bit like love. Love is more than a feeling we get. Love is more than a feeling we get. It is a choice and a decision that we make. And our feelings follow after. Our feelings come around to that. And so, as I already mentioned, it's not about discussing and detailing Thanksgiving the day. I do appreciate Thanksgiving Day. I do appreciate very much. I remember the test of that when we were in COVID. Should we assemble with family or should we not? And that was a serious question in my mind. And it was one that I felt deeply about because I think there are important aspects, there are unique aspects about some of these days and the opportunity to get together and not just get together, but to to think and ponder on the goodness of God and to appreciate what God's done for us. But I believe the heart of this sermon this morning is to push back against the never-ceasing pressure that is upon us of just ungratefulness, high expectations, you know, stuff that's not getting met. And we begin to, you know, we begin to be ungrateful and we begin to be complaining and we're not happy and we don't recognize God's blessing upon us. And that's a very real thing. Comes very, very close to us. There's so many things that can interrupt that our desire to be thankful. But so I want to push back against that. Again, 2 Timothy 3:2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Oh, unthankful, unholy. Wow, that's quite a sin listed in with unholiness and boasting and pride and covetousness. And so again, we're warned by that. It's not just something added on. It's not just an extra blessing, but it is a call of God upon our lives. And so it does seem that with each generation, there is an expectation that are not sustainable, that are pretty high. And how about ours? And so we ask ourselves the question, what does go through our minds when we awake in the morning? What are the first things that we think about? You know, is there some thankfulness? We wake up differently. Some of us wake up slower than others. Often a coffee pot is somewhere in the center of that for some of us. But what is the general state of our hearts and minds when we wake up? And I think that's probably a good measurement that we could apply to ourselves about thankfulness. Thankfulness, thanksgiving, is a must-have. Thankfulness is a key ingredient in the life of the believer. These are just some statements that I wrote, and I believe them to be true. Thanksgiving, the act of giving thanks, it is a prayer expressing gratitude. It's that kind of a mindset. It is the spirit and it is the expression of the life of thankfulness. I'll read what John MacArthur had to say. I thought he sort of summed up in one paragraph, a few sentences, what is on my heart. A thankful heart is one of the primary identifying characteristics of a believer. It stands in stark contrast to pride, selfishness, and worry. And it helps fortify the believer's trust in the Lord and reliance on his provision even in the toughest times. No matter how choppy the seas become, a believer's heart is buoyed by constant praise and gratefulness to the Lord. How true. And I wondered, I've wondered what society does who does not have a God to thank. See, to me, there is a light that goes out of the day if I'm not able to, if my heart isn't able to swell with gratitude to the Almighty. And so if you don't have that, what do you do with that? I think you could probably think about personal happiness, like this moment is a good moment for me. This moment is a moment that I'm happy with. But there seems to me that is so shallow or so short. It just doesn't get past this ceiling. And when, again, last evening, I was in my office and the windows faced south and west and the sunset that was reflected there that I was able to see Maybe I'm just a simple man, but what do you do if you don't have a place to go with that awe? And so that thankfulness, I believe that's thankfulness. That is a spirit of thankfulness. That is thanking God for that beauty that he created. And seems to have been a lot of that recently. And then there's always the things that bring you down. On our way to church this morning, I was tested with thankfulness. And I was still thinking about that. You see, we plan to travel east from here directly because of my wife's family getting together. And we were 5 minutes out the road. And we realized that there was something missing. Somebody forgot something. Now, we all do forget things at times. That is a fact. But, you see, the plan is to leave from here, to get on the highway, get on 99 at Pinecroft, and the most direct route east. But logistically, that makes a lot of sense. That's something that I do. I pay attention to those things. But the problem is that now we will leave here and we will travel back the other way to home. And then we'll head east. And I decided to share it because it was a struggle in my own heart. And I don't know what else to do with it but to share it as one of those moments. Because there's no end to the complaining or the unthankfulness that we can have. And so I think God's teaching me patience. He's teaching me love for all humanity. Certainly I have love in my heart for all of my family, but yeah. So the point is that we can so quickly become very unthankful. And so that is a very real battle. It just is. And so it's, again, I would like to come back to an introduction, one of the thoughts in introduction, and that is that thankfulness is more than a feeling. It is a choice. It is a belief system. And it's a recognition of the Almighty and his gifts to us, even in the difficult times. My mind went to Corrie Ten Boom, and I do have a quote of hers later on here. But I was impacted by her life as a young person because I read her books. And I still think of her from time to time. And I thought of her, and I went looking for some of her quotes because I was certain that she made some very specific quotes about Thanksgiving and how that moved her life. But I actually think one of the key center thoughts that she brought was forgiveness and how that changed her life in prison. But she did express her gratitude, and I have a quote in here regarding that. I'll get to it. But gratitude is what gives us the fortitude, the strength to be able to face the difficult things of life, a heart of thankfulness. And can we remember that? Ladies, can you remember it as you deal with the pressures of bringing up those little ones and the mundane of life on your side of the house? And brothers, we have some mundane and some clouds that rain on our parade regularly as well. And the problem is we think too much about the parade in the first place. Probably that's one of the problems. But there's just so many ways in which, you know, it just seems like the heavens can come down upon us. But again, we're being called to thankfulness. God desires thanksgiving, and we'll notice that as we go along. Think about some of these Old Testament believers. Noah, when he first came off the ark, my mind went to him. We're studying him. What's the first thing he did? It seems like the first thing he did is build an altar. And altars are about thanksgiving. They're about sacrifice and praise and thanksgiving. And so we see Noah doing that. Daniel, he went and prayed and he thanked God. So the decree went out, there'll be no praying to anybody but the king. And Daniel went and thanked God. And we know the account. He praised God for God's protection there with the lions. That was Daniel. Jonah's an Old Testament, another Old Testament saint who ended up, children, you know the account, right? He ended up where? Somebody want to help me with that? Jonah, where did he end up? In the belly of the whale. And it says there that as he was there with the weeds about his head, he began to pray. And it says that he said this in his prayer, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving." And he began to thank God for, I guess, God's mercy. There he was. He was still alive. And God responded, and he was brought up out of the fish. You know, we just think of Hannah as a lady in the Bible who was thankful. You know, Hannah was finally given a son, but she didn't get distracted. She didn't lose sight. Her son did not become her place of happiness and blessing, but she continued to thank the Lord for what he did. And that, I believe, was the key to her being able to give her son at that early age to serve God in the temple. And so she was a very thankful person. You know, and this is, Corrie Ten Boom said this, "I have held many things in my hands, and I have lost them all, but whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess." And so there is a key to thankfulness, to being able to continue to lay those things in God's hands. Some of the hardest things to do. And that's why our lesson this morning on faith is such a key part. You know, faith is the foundation of this all, and being able to trust God. And our thankfulness gets lost. Our thanksgiving to God gets lost when we're trying to control and hold it together on our own. And we become fearful. And we become frustrated. We become angry. And it's a lack of thankfulness. I thought of Paul talking about giving thanks. There they were. He was on the ship with a couple hundred others, and they were in the midst of this storm, and it had been about as devastating a couple of weeks as could be. And now they've gotten to land, and things are going to become drastically worse here in just minutes. And somehow, over that whole hubbub, he was able to call people together and says, "Look, God's going to protect every one of us. Everybody here should eat some food. You haven't been eating." And he prayed and he thanked God. And then they ate and they were all miraculously able to make it to shore. He thanked God in the midst of that. And I think that's a powerful witness to us. And then I thought of Paul's letters and I began to go to Ephesians. Yep, there it is. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Paul opens every one of his books with praise and blessing and thanksgiving. Oh, you turn to Philippians. There it is, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 3. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus," and so on. That was Paul's heart. And we see Paul's love and thanksgiving for those who he was able to minister to time and time again. Jesus, at the end of his life, there as he was closing out that upper room, the meal together, and he broke some bread, brought up the wine, and he said, "Let's pray." And he thanked God. He thanked God for these bread and wine, which represented and signified his own broken body and what was about to take place. And so we see that in Jesus' thanksgiving. We see it many times in Jesus. As he prayed to the Father. I believe John 17, while those words aren't there, he shows a heart of thanksgiving as he prayed for all of us to the Father. And so we see that again and again. So there's 5 points, practical points, that I want to bring out here for each one of us. Practical points about thanksgiving and its place in our hearts and its place worked out in our lives. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 50 for the first point. Psalm 50, verses 1 through 14. I don't know that we're going to read all those verses, but here we have, God spoken in verse 1, called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. And he shall call to the heavens from above unto the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? So, one moment. Here God is challenging the children of Israel and their sacrifices and the problems that he had with them as a people. And he said, look, I don't really need your sacrifices. Every cattle is mine. All the fowl of the heaven is mine. And then he goes on to what he was looking for. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. Thanksgiving is commanded. Thanksgiving is commanded. That's my first point. God is asking. He is commanding thanksgiving. He said, you and I need to get our own minds at the right place, our own hearts at the right place. That act of service we did this week, that gift that we gave, that wrong that we took up this morning or this week, that's not enough. What I'm looking for, that's obligation. What I'm looking for is opportunity. And the opportunity is to give thanksgiving. To give thanksgiving. That's what I believe God is asking for here. And that's what he's asking for us yet today. That is the difference between those who are doing that which must be done and those who are saying, Lord, you are the great one of heaven and earth. And I acknowledge you this morning. I thank you and I praise you and I worship you. And that's what the burden, I believe, here is being showed to us here. These verses speak of action more than the sacrifices. Yes, offering up unto God thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. And so, God still speaks to us through the events in our lives. Still does. You all have different events in your life. Some of you are pretty young. You haven't had a lot of events yet. There are more to come. Young men, young ladies, lots of events. But you already have experienced some events, some large events. And somewhere through those moments, God is looking for us to look up at him and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I am receiving direction in my life. I am receiving blessing in my life. I have a testimony in my life now that I didn't have before. I have a confidence in my life that I didn't have before. And I'm going to praise you for that. Offer up thanksgiving. You know, Job. Job had a good life. Job had a very good life, it seems, from what we see. And then look, Job's life changed. And do you know what else changed? I believe Job's relationship with his Heavenly Father. And he was had some opportunities there that were just tremendous as he wrestled with God. He did. But he says here in Job chapter 1 and verse 20, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down on the ground and what? Cried? Worshipped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. You want to say it with me? Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Blessed. So praise and glory. Job certainly had a heart of thanksgiving. So it's commanded. Thanksgiving is commanded. Number two, thanksgiving is a believer's natural response. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. I want to show that it's more than just commanded. It's okay. There's an obligation. Yes, God asked for it. And that is reason enough. But continue here, if you would, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 12 through 16. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. This is recognizing the sacrifice and the extreme sacrifice that Jesus Christ made. The reproach of it and all of that. And it says here that because of that sacrifice, because of that gift, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. Thanksgiving is a natural response and should be a natural response because of what Christ Jesus has done for you and me. It springs up from our hearts. God has created and supplied all that we need physically. God has created and supplied all that we need spiritually. And to show that proof, he sent his own son, his only begotten son, to take our sins and suffer for them. And so, yes, our natural response, there is a natural flow from our hearts of thanksgiving. And when that's not the case, I suggest to you we've lost sight of our salvation. We've lost sight of our neediness. We've lost sight of how destitute we are. We lost sight of our opportunity for relationship and security. We've lost sight of those things. And there's times when we do. There's times when we grow cold towards God, and many times it's because we have begun to entertain the flesh. We've begun to entertain this world. You know, we've gotten careless with our commitment. And yes, we can lose the song of thanksgiving. We absolutely can. But God's saying, well, here's my investment. Here's my gift so that thanksgiving is a response of the heart. And so this morning, thanksgiving is a believer's natural response. And if it's not there this morning, let's go back to those very foundational pieces. Are we at peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, or are we not? That's the question. And so that's, I think, very important. Number three, thanksgiving is because of what a heart of thanksgiving does for us. You see, it isn't just It isn't just a gift that we can give to God. It isn't just because he commanded it. It isn't just because it's a natural response. But in thanksgiving and thankfulness, we receive more blessing. I think you know what I'm talking about. How that is reciprocal. And it brings so many things. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16. I want to take a few points from here. So go with me to this account, familiar account of Paul and Silas in Acts 16. Acts 16, verses 22 to 34. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them in prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And we'll just stop there for a moment. We're to be thankful because of what a heart of thanksgiving does for us. So you'll notice in verse 23, they had laid many stripes on them. They rent off their clothes and gave them a beating. We don't know anything about that here. None of us. I don't think one of us has taken that kind of a beating. But their flesh was laid open. Proof of it is how they were dressed a little bit later here. The keeper took care of it. These men were in pain. They had to have been in pain. They were put in an uncomfortable prison, being held in an uncomfortable way. And here they are, and about midnight, they began to sing and give praise. It's an old story. We've heard it before, but think about it. Would you have done it? Would I have done it? What'd they sing? Blessed Assurance? No, they didn't have that hymn written yet. Do you know what they probably sang? They sang some of the Psalms. And they were singing of God's mercy and of his protection, and they were praising God. They were praising God, it says here. They were thankful. There was thankful hearts. And in that thanksgiving, not only were their minds and their hearts free, but they were given their physical freedom as well. God chose to act in that moment and release them. And so I suggest to you this morning that in their worship and in their praise, their pain had slid to the side, their crisis of what tomorrow brought was laid down, and they were worshiping God. They were praising God. And think of what it did for them in this moment. It did so much for them. Again, as I mentioned, I think they were free in heart and in mind and in spirit before the Almighty. And then God shook the place. And they were given their freedom. Thanksgiving moves God to free us of the bondage of fear and worry. It does. I think if Silas and Paul were normal as us, there was fear and worry about tomorrow. Because what they had already experienced physically has trauma with it. It's just all there is to it. And here they got free from that, and we too. Thanksgiving frees us from that, fear and worry. Verses 33 and 34, you'll notice that he took them that same night and washed their stripes and was baptized of them. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And so, not only were they given their freedom, but they were treated and given food to eat. And it must have been quite a time of rejoicing. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this: "It is only with gratitude that life becomes rich." Think about it. Some of the poorest of the poor have the greatest riches of society because they are thankful. And the wealthiest that you see stop by in Abu Dhabi or Dubai or, you know, certain buildings in New York City, or and you see the wealthy, and then you realize that they don't have much because they're not thankful. There's no thankfulness there. And it doesn't go any further than, well, that car or whatever it is. So many times. And so we see Thanksgiving. We're thankful because of what Thanksgiving does for us. It frees us from the bondage of fear and worry. God help us to be more thankful. Thanksgiving is the miracle salve of life. We're to be thankful, number four, because of what it does for others. Did you see what happened here? This moment, this praise, this thanksgiving moved God, and it moved the jailer as well. He drew out his sword to kill himself in verse 27, supposing the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." And you'll do notice that in verse 25 that the other prisoners heard them. Certainly there was a ministry that was happening there. I don't believe there was any prisoners that are happy to be in jail. And so they were thinking. Maybe they were mocking. I don't know. Maybe they weren't. But we do know that the jailer here and his house, he said in verse 30, and brought them out, Paul and Silas, and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" The question would seem to be, the question seems rather educated. And I would suspect that perhaps they had heard some of the message beforehand, had heard some of the teaching of Paul, and perhaps had heard some of this singing, and that was the question. And we know that that they were saved that night. They spoke unto them the word of the Lord, and that same night was baptized. Well, he took them that same night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And he brought them into the house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. What a moment. Thanksgiving, we're called to thanksgiving because of what it does for others. Do you know how much it encourages your family if as a man of the house you're thankful? Let me just ask you also, your prayers at the table. You know, it's one of those moments where it can become sort of like we repeat the same thought, sort of say the same things. Can we stop long enough to actually make sure that we connect the heart to what it is we're about to say? Can we be sure of that? And if it takes 30 seconds of just pure silence before you say anything at that meal, maybe that's what you need to do. But somehow we need to connect our words with our hearts. And I think it's right that we have that habit and that ritual. But let's not lose sight of what it's all about. And it is to actually communicate thanksgiving to the Almighty from our hearts and mean it. And I think our children will recognize the difference. We're thankful because of what it does for others. Paul had the opportunity to save this man's life physically, number one, and then to offer to him the word of life, and he was saved spiritually. It's quite an opportunity, and Paul took it up. My final point, number five, thanksgiving. We're thankful because it brings glory to God. See, in this account, when all of this had happened, the magistrates in verse 35 said, "Let him go." And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul. Magistrates have sent to let you go. Now, therefore, depart and go in peace. Paul had a few thoughts about that and called their attention to the fact that they were Romans. It's just an interesting piece of the story. In verse 39, they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they what? Comforted them and departed. It brings a glory to God. God had the last word in this situation. And because of this work of God, they were able to come and to the house of Lydia, to where the believers were gathered, and they were able to show them what thanksgiving does. They were able to comfort them with words of truth. They were able to comfort them with the Almighty God that they were serving. Here's what he did here at this moment. And turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 to close out this point. Here's some favorite verses. Chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, verse 14 through 18. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound, be multiplied, be amplified to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Perhaps I'll start with verse 18. That's the key to it all. We just get so focused on today. What's right here in front of us, the fact that we're a little tired, the fact that the baby struggled with me all morning, the fact that we were up most of the night, or whatever it is that we just get fixed out on. They're real. But here we're being called again to take our eyes from that which is temporal, which is right here, and beyond to the eternal, the things which are not seen. But you'll notice here, knowing that, you really should go back to verse 11, for which we are alive, are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Yes, we're being asked to take upon us the same sacrificial life, be willing to bear that. But we know that God, which raised up the Lord Jesus, shall raise up us also by Jesus. And so there's the promise. There's the promise. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many. And so it's the same today. Our faith, our commitment, our thanksgiving is part of this praise ensemble. You know, this collective praise that is going up to the Almighty. And we have the opportunity to be part of that this morning. We're being called to be part of it. We're being commanded, yes. And we know that we can think of many times in our lives when that's been our natural response. But I'm reminding us this morning that that is a call upon our lives, and let's embrace it. Thanksgiving. You know, I overlooked a note that I had. I think it was in my first point. Under the point of being commanded. And if in verse 14 of Psalm 50, it talks let me just go to that. I wanted to bring that out. I thought it was important here. I'll do that here in the closing. Chapter 50 and verse 14. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. I read that verse, but that word thanksgiving there is a Hebrew word. It's different than the word thanksgiving in the Greek in the New Testament. That word thanksgiving means to extend the hand, especially for reverence and worship. That stood out to me. Now, I know that in my moments, and probably more private moments, I most certainly have lifted my hands. This morning, would you lift your hands with me in thanksgiving to the Almighty? Yes. Praise God. Perhaps we need that reminder from time to time. Let's lift our hands and let's thank our God. Finally, with faithful and thankful lives, with faithful and thankful hearts in this life, we will have the opportunity to be part of that throng gathered around the throne as described in Revelation 7, verse 12, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Let's kneel for prayer.